Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your sermon note in the middle, you'll find a copy of the notes that we're going to be using as we open up God's Word and allow it to penetrate and mold and shape us. We've been talking about the parables that Jesus told. And in each case that Jesus entered into a parable, he is addressing some need that was spoken, some issue that was lying before the people that he had been presented with. And so as we open up each of the parables, sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking that each parable we've read many times, it becomes almost like a pithy saying. We just kind of say, particularly today we're going to be talking about the lost sheep, and we can say, well, we know that story, we know how it goes. But if we don't understand the question it was meant to address, then it just becomes another story, and we need to understand how this story was intended to address a concern that we have in our own lives. Parables are those earthy stories that have a deep spiritual meaning, or another way of looking at it is they're little stories that contain a big truth. Sometimes by just stating something, we can have a definition, but until we have a story that wraps around it, we don't really quite understand what the meaning is. And so Jesus tells parables in order to get behind all of our defenses and allow us to see our lives from a different perspective. And so this morning, I'm hoping that you will be able to just hear Jesus' words spoken to you as his hearers did. The question that was asked of him and how he used it to address it. And think about your own journey through this parable. God's word goes out with force. It influences us. It changes us. For good or bad, we can either receive it and say, this is my story too, or you can reject it and say, I'm moving in a different direction. But you today must embrace what God is doing or turn away. Let's allow God to become part of our story. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's word? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Now, as we embrace this parable, the first parable in Luke 15, Luke lays out the story in such a way that he wants you to understand the concern that is being elevated. As a matter of fact, in Luke 15, we have three parables that are often told together. They're seen together. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and what we've come to know as the prodigal son, all contained in Luke 15. But what prompted those three core stories? I would imagine that if I were to ask you to kind of tell me a little bit about each one, you could probably, to some extent, tell me a little bit of nugget about each of those parables. And yet they are all prompted by the same issue. So powerful was this issue that Luke said, I need three stories to hammer this point home. So I want to challenge you this morning to say, what is the concern that is being elevated for which each of these parables is set to address? Found in Luke 15, beginning with the first verse. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we gather this morning that your word may take root in our heart and it may bear abundant fruit as we live and as we love and as we lead in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a parable of contrasts. This is a parable that tells a little bit about the structure of what Jesus is doing. Luke tells us at the very beginning that Jesus is sitting around talking and interacting with people of a certain class. He says particularly they are sinners and they are tax collectors. But there is another class that is over here that is watching all of this unfold. They, Luke tells us, they are the Pharisees, and particularly they are the teachers of the law. And they're watching this, and there is this struggle that is happening. They're saying, I don't understand your teacher. He is gathering with sinners and tax collectors, and not only that, he is eating with them. He is welcoming them. And without really answering it, Luke says, so Jesus told a parable. The question that we need to wrestle with then is, what is the question or what is the concern that is being laid before Jesus for which this parable is speaking? What are the things that are going on in our own heart? And I believe this morning that you will hear this parable in one of two ways. You will fall into one of those two camps, if you will. There are those that at some point in their life have felt like the lost sheep. They have felt so isolated and so alone and so abandoned, they didn't know where to turn. Maybe there was some point in your life that you can hearken back to where you said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know who was going to be there. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I felt so vulnerable and so small and so frightened. Or maybe you feel like the other side. Those that look on and say, things should be better. Why is he bothering with these small people? There are bigger fish to fry. There are other things that we should be doing. These are teachers of the law. And what happens with teachers of the law is they determine primarily who will be outside of God's grace. And so Jesus tells this parable. This is a parable that deals with what are the limits of God's love. Does love have limits? Does it have a place where you can actually be beyond what God is doing in your life? Jesus is talking with sinners and with tax collectors, and people come and say, but shouldn't they be beyond us now? Aren't they outside of God's grace? And he tells us this parable. And this week, I tried to figure out how do we kind of capture the essence or the emotional intensity that this story was meant to convey. I'm happy to say that it actually came from two people, my analogy. Betty told it to me, and she told me about a movie that she and Audra had watched. Audra's sitting there going, oh, Lord, what is he going to say now? Do you remember Audra watching a movie about Philomena? Have any of you seen this book? Betty let me borrow this book. Have you ever seen it? Good, good, because that means this will be fresh to you. There was a story about a woman who in 1952 went to a convent to have a baby because her family asked her, she was out of wedlock. In that time in Ireland, they sent her off to a convent to have her child. And while she was there, she had to work in order to maintain her keep and her room and board. And for the next 3 years, the convent would only allow her to see her child for 1 hour a day for the next 3 years. And after 3 years, unbeknownst to her, her child was sold to an orphanage, and people from America had adopted her child, and it was taken from her. And this is a story of over the years of her desire and her hunger to find and reconnect her child. Now, imagine the intensity of having your own child taken from you. Would you ever think in your wildest imagination that you'd say, well, let's just cut our losses? It is so lost and it is so outside the realm. There's certain places I'm just not going to go. And the child is now in America. I'm never going to find them. I just need to move on with my life. It's a story of her ongoing, lifelong journey to be reconnected with her child. The very core of this parable is asking, does God have limits? Is there a place where God will write you off and say, you're beyond help? I'm not going to go there. Jesus is eating with sinners and tax collectors, entering into a dialogue because they too are his child. If we begin to judge them as outside the realm, then we also are judging ourselves. We too are outside that realm because we have placed ourselves outside that realm. If we stop giving up searching for that one lost child, it says more about us than it does about their lostness. And so Jesus tells this story, this poetic, almost surreal story about this one lost sheep. What is the first thing that when you hear this story or would have been heard about this story, about Jesus telling the story that would have hit you or hit its hearers almost to be out of unreasonable bounds? The first thing that would hit you is, does it make sense to you, if you're a shepherd, to leave 99 healthy sheep vulnerable to go after the one? And oftentimes we would have heard that, and Jesus says, would you not leave your 99? And the answer is usually, no, I would not. I would cut my losses. It's a sheep. We do a balance. And Jesus said, but you don't understand who God is. Somebody once said, if we were to tell this parable in modern times, we might put it this way. Have you been watching the buzz in the news about, I think it's Steve Ballen, who is buying the LA Clippers for $2 billion? Can you imagine having $2 billion? Imagine that you had that kind of money, and as you were looking over your checkbook, if you had a checkbook for $2 billion, and you noticed that in your checkbook there was a mistake for $1,000. There's $1,000 that you can't account for. Well, if you have $2 billion, how much time and effort are you going to put into finding that last $1,000? You might just write it off. It'll just come out in the wash. You'll make it up in interest. In the same way, if you had 99 sheep, if you had a good, healthy flock, would you sacrifice or put at risk that flock in order to go after the one? Jesus is not saying this in terms of what makes good business sense. He's saying it that God loves each of us that much, that Jesus came out of heaven, out of the realm of the kingdom, in order to find that one. And who is that one? You are. You were the lost sheep. You were the one that he came to find. What is the first thing that we learn out of this parable? That God does not cut his losses. God doesn't get to a place where he said, I've given them all my best shot. I'm not going to try anymore. They're beyond help. God is constantly seeking and constantly pursuing because we are loved. We are his children. And as any good parent would know, we would not stop seeking them out. We would not stop pursuing them. We would not stop trying to reconnect. The story is that with Philomena, that she spent her entire life searching, asking questions, pursuing, trying to find whatever happened to her child, only to find out later that her child was trying to find her, trying to find his way back as well. God does not give up, and neither can we. There are lost sheep that are trying to find their way home. There is a God that has children out there that need to come home. God does not cut his losses. The second thing that we learn is that God doesn't wait to be asked. God is not waiting for you to kind of say, come to some realization and say, okay, God, now you can come into my life. God is constantly pursuing you. As we gather, we remember all of the things that are joyful in our lives, the people that have been blessed by our lives. the circumstances this week that have blessed you in such a way that you say, I am blessed. God is reaching out to me because love pursues us. The shepherd goes after the sheep. He pursues the sheep. He looks for them because that's the nature of love. And finally, God does not condemn. He tells us that at the very end, what does he do? He is overjoyed. Not that he's got one goofy sheep that goes off by itself, not one sheep that was following its own nose into some dangerous place, but he is overjoyed to welcome it back. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The question is are you part of the flock? Or are you still out there by yourself? How do you hear this parable? Do you hear it as a sheep that's saying, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Or are you still saying, there's got to be a point where we draw the line. Some people are in and some people are out. And God has got to draw the line. And so do we. The shepherd and the sheep is addressing the concern of those that are gathered there. But at the very end, Jesus tells us something very important. He says at the very end, he said, and so it will be over one lost soul that repents. One lost soul that repents. This is a story also about repentance, not just for the Pharisees that are saying get off to the side, but also for those that are gathered there, for the poor and for the tax collectors and sinners. There will be rejoicing. There will be a great party that is being thrown for those that will repent. And yet I find over and over again, so many people get confused by what does that mean in terms of repentance. Repentance involves a sense of the Spirit coming in you and a desire to change your course. It begins with a sense of confession, of changing your path, of realizing that something is wrong, that the path that you're on right now is going to lead to destruction. Things stay the way they are. At the end of time, at the end of your life, it will ultimately fall away to despair. There's a time of confession. We need change in our life. We understand that all on our own, we can't do it. It begins with your mind of thinking about what is God doing? What are the alternatives? It gives way to a sense of conviction, a desire, an emotional intensity, a grieving, but also a grief that gives way to healing, a desire to want to be different. I don't want to be on this path. I see what is hopeful and what is good, and that is what I want. I want to have fellowship with the Good Shepherd. I don't want to be by myself. And perhaps the hardest thing is to then begin living a life of change, putting in the priorities and the structure that will give way to a new life, a life of commitment and a life of covenant that we join together. As we join together, we find that it's no longer just living that lostness, that one lone sheep out all by itself. But we live together in a sense of community, building our lives and feeling the richness that comes from our relationships with one another as God moves us forward. The question that I wanted to ask is, of these three, which is the hardest for you to deal with? Confession. I'm not perfect. There are things that have to change, things that I need to get better at. Is there a sense of deep, intense grief? Things that maybe you've said or done and said, Lord, I wish I'd have done that better. I want a change of recognizing that maybe we're off the path that God has called us to. But then have we put in the structure and have we begun the process of learning and changing our life day by day by day? When we come back to the fold, there is a joyfulness in community. There is a oneness that comes by living together as the flock does. I wanted to share with you one of my favorite quotes that comes from George Bernard Shaw. He writes the following. He says, "This is the true joy of life, of being used up for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. Life is no brief candle to me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for a moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. Do you feel today like your life is a bursting, flaming torch, burning brightly as you give yourself to the kingdom and to what God is doing? Is it true joy to live in community, to celebrate that I once was lost, but now I'm found? That is the story that we have to share as believers in Christ. Maybe you're still in a place where you feel lost. You feel outside the bounds of what God is doing. And you say, I wish I could feel that again. Know this, God is searching for you. He's looking for you, and today he has found you. He welcomes you back into the fellowship and asks that you make that commitment to be with the flock, to stay with the flock, to journey with them.